Buying or selling your home? Real Estate for Life can connect you with a pro-life real estate agent. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 65% to Catholic Answers. Learn more at realestateforlife.org. Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host. Tim Staples with us this hour. Tim, of course, senior apologist here at Catholic Answers and the author of Behold Your Mother, A Biblical and Historical Defense of the Marian Doctrines. Well, hello, Tim.
Hello, Cy Kellett.
How you been?
I am doing too good.
You are? I have bad news for you. I can't get your computer to work, so I'm going to have to share mine with you, I think,
oh,
for questions.
Oh, my goodness. It won't work. It,
it just won't, do you want to try it, Darren? I don't know. Maybe Darren can figure it out. I just can't get it to...
I thought it just used to mess with me. Now it's messing with all of us, huh?
Well, it's you. I think usually it messes with me because I just
know
fat finger something and I oh okay.
No, that's me.
I hit the kill button. Okay. The number here is 888-318-7884. It's Ask Me Anything with Tim. You can ask him whatever you like. If you have a question about the Catholic faith, whether you're Catholic or not, that's what we like talking about. That's what Tim is good at talking about, and we welcome your call. 888-318-7884. We're talking about AI. Well, first of all, I wonder if you have this experience. People that you have met over video, but you've never met them in person.
Oh, yeah.
That was Father Tad. You know, I've worked with him for years.
Right.
Never met him in person before.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
And today he came in and did the show, and it was very nice.
He's a brilliant man.
He really is. Yeah. But have you seen that the Vatican has a new document on AI?
We're talking about AI. I have not read it yet. Have you read it?
I did. Well, because Chris Check, because he wanted to talk about it on the air, so I he told me to read it, and I read it, and it's just so good. It's like I was saying to Father, you read something like that, and you realize the Catholic Church has this deep, deep well that it can just pull this stuff up and go, here, think about all this, you know? And I really like that it's not at all an accusatory. It's not at all like AI is bad, and it's not that level of thing.
I wouldn't expect it to be.
No, it's charitable and open. It's certainly honest about the risks, but I think what they want is for some of these engineers up in Silicon Valley to read it.
Yeah,
you know, I think that's what they're I mean, they want all of us to read it, but I think they want the people making this stuff to read it.
Absolutely,
think about some stuff. Again, 888-318-7884 is the number, 888-31-TRUTH. Look at that, just one line open, because Tim came in and all the lines lit up. Oh, it was that easy to get the computer working? Are you kidding me? I wish I hadn't admitted on air that I couldn't get it working.
I can see.
It's a miracle. All right, Tom in New Jersey, you've been waiting. I know you've been waiting. Tom, go ahead with your question for Tim Staples.
Yeah, hi. This is Tom from New Jersey. I'm 80, going to be 82 in 35 days.
God bless
you. Oh, congratulations.
I'm looking to buy you the Tim's book, Behold Your Mother.
No, you're not going to have to.
I want to tell Jesus, I'm going to tell your mother on you because...
I like your strategy.
That's right.
Well, you know, the question of being old... And not being able to function as young people. My son took technology in college, and he says, you can't use a smartphone, you're dead today. You know what I mean?
So right.
What can Tim, how can you deal with younger people at an age as, you know, that they old people are just in the way.
Yeah. Well, Tom, first of all, I would beg to differ with your... Was that your son or your grandson you're talking about?
No, I wish I had a grandson, but my son and my daughter never had children.
Your son. Well, Tom, I would beg to differ. Number one, you don't need a smartphone or to be able to be a whiz on a smartphone in order to interact with people, including young people. You know, Tom... Cy Kellett knows this, but I like to go and write at a local coffee shop. There's a couple of coffee shops that I go to and I write. And I often get into conversations with folks. And you know what I have found, Tom? Now, don't get me wrong. I do believe we should. I have a smartphone. I was the last person at Catholic Answers to get one. Because, Tom, I'm just not a big fan of all this stuff. But I realized, hey, this is to evangelize and the propagation of the faith. It's an effective tool. So I held out as long as I could, but I got it. And so, you know, it is a good thing. We need to use AI. We need, and good Catholics need to be involved in making sure that AI doesn't go off the rails and such. So, yeah, we need to be involved and be where people are. Because if you love Jesus, you love people, and you want to share Jesus with people, you got to go where the people are. Mm-hmm. And so certainly, yes, it's a good thing to try, as I do. I'm terrible at technology. I meander my way through. I have guys in the office here that show me where the on-off button is, you know, when I forget and stuff. But, I meander my way through. But I still say, Tom, the best way to communicate the gospel is one-on-one. Jesus sent them out by twos to engage people face-to-face. And I really believe, Tom, that when we engage, as some young people, and I know the Holy Father has spoken about this, not, I haven't read this document, but he spoke about it in Fratelli Tutti, which is an encyclical letter I absolutely loved. You know, the problem with not communicating with people face to face, Cy Kelly.
Yeah, right.
And when everything is digital and email and such, you don't see people's facial expressions, hear voice inflection. There's no real human contact. There is something lost there, and something extremely important is lost. Humanity, namely, you know, the fullness thereof, anyway. So, Tom, I tell you, I think a man who has wisdom like you do, you have so much to give. You know, go out to the coffee shop like I do and engage. I talk with people all ages. I've gotten in great conversations with folks from the University of San Diego, the University of, there's two universities, right? There's
UCSD, which is University of California,
San Diego, yeah. And University of San Diego. And it's great, you know, talking with folks face-to-face. So, man, I encourage you, Tom, to do that, you know, that face-to-face communication with your son and anyone else. Because being locked up in our homes, I think, and staying online all the time is very, very detrimental to our ability to communicate. What you find, Tom, is that a lot of young people, I'll just share this one little anecdote with you, Tom. I remember my wife and I went out to a fairly nice restaurant on a date night, and we were there, and we had ordered, and we were waiting for our food, and we're talking, and we look over, and there was a family, a mother and father, and two children, and all four of them, I could not believe, well, I guess I could believe it. All four of them were on their phones, and they're, you know, not talking to each other. I'm like, you're going out to a fairly expensive restaurant, and you're going to sit down, and then you're just on the phone typing away. It was, you know, I think a sign of the times here. And I tell you, Tom, yes, I encourage you and everyone to get proficient in, get a smartphone, absolutely. But please, everyone, do not let that thing engulf you. And it easily can. It starts taking up so much time. I know I have a Facebook account, and I never go there.
Yeah,
I virtually never go there, but every once in a while, you know, I get a message and somebody has, and I'll go over just to respond, and you can get trapped in there. And
yes.
It's like an hour goes by and you're like, oh my gosh, I got something I got to get done here. So, you know, just be very, very careful. Use it wisely. Don't sweat it, Tom. You've got so much to offer with your 82 years of wisdom. I recommend face-to-face communication anytime over smartphone.
I'll tell you what, Tom, we would love to send you a copy of Tim's book that you mentioned, Behold Your Mother, A Biblical and Historical Defense of the Marian Doctrines. I'm going to go to break right now, Tom, but if you hang on the line, Luca is on the phones today. He will get an address. We'll send you out a copy of Behold Your Mother as quick as we can. Right back with more. Tim Staples, Catholic Answers Live.
Let us help you with your question today on Catholic Answers Live.
Do you have a question but prefer to ask it privately? Catholic Questions can help. Go to CatholicQuestions.com to ask your question online, email us, drop us a letter, or give us a call. Longtime Catholic Answers Live apologist and author Jim Blackburn or another Catholic Questions apologist will be happy to assist you. Catholic Questions proudly supports Catholic Answers Live, so visit us at CatholicQuestions.com today. That's CatholicQuestions.com.
Hi, this is Father Mike Schmitz. Please join me for Ascension's Bible in a Year and Catechism in a Year here on EWTN Radio. We're going through the entire Bible and the Catechism in 365 days. If you've ever wanted to understand what it means to be Catholic and allow those truths to shape your life, this is for you.
Bible in a Year and Catechism in a Year with Father Mike Schmitz. Tonight at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on EWTN Radio.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Hey, our Society 315 is giving away the Halo app. And I got a text yesterday that the Halo app got banned in Europe, but then I looked into it. Did anybody see that? I didn't see that. Did it get, no?
I didn't
see that. So I don't know. I'll have to do some more research on that one. But we'd love to give you the Halo app. Just go. Anyone who joins the Society 315 here at Catholic Answers gets it free for a year. Go to casociety315.com or just Google Catholic Answers Society 315. It'll take you there, and you can find out what it entails and get yourself the Halo app for the year. Catholic Answers Society 315. All right, going to Iowa now, watching on YouTube, Zach in Iowa. Thank you for waiting, Zach. Go ahead with your question for Tim Staples.
Okay, first off, when you came back, you came in with somebody, and it looked like they were wearing a suit, or at least a fancy blazer. And I'm thinking, oh, Tim's gotten all fancy today. And then sits down, turns around, it's Ed.
Oh, yeah. But we don't call him Ed. His name is Edgar. It's very he's very sensitive.
Okay.
Oh, he's so sensitive about
names,
that.
I was going and my safety.
Anyway, yeah, no, I'm just teasing you. Yeah.
Hey, at least
yes.
I have a nice shirt on, though, right?
Edgar's what? Aren't you wearing a peacoat, Edgar? Yeah, he's wearing a peacoat. So.
But at least I got a nice shirt on.
I know. You do. I think you look very nice. I think you look very nice.
Oh, yeah, he does. I was just like, whoa.
Hey.
Anyway, as for my question.
Okay.
I was curious if God essentially disapproves of very subtle sowing of seeds of faith. Like, for example, I have a tendency when I'm listening to Perfect Timing, app, Father Mike Schmitz's minute homily,
yeah.
I tend to turn it up for my non-Catholic coworkers to hear.
Oh.
Not to...
Yeah.
Not obnoxiously, but enough where it's like I just kind of hope that they at least hear a few bits. I know one of them kind of perks up when he hears it, but anyway. Right. But I wasn't sure if that's like too close to lukewarm or as a strained and connection, like the servant and to just buried his coin. You're like
right
not quite burying your coin, but kind of cheating. You're just being so subtle and not.
It's not cheating to share Father Mike. That's not cheating.
No,
but let's get you an answer, Zach, and I'll come back to you.
Yeah, Zach, I think that's a fantastic way to evangelize. That's being a little sneaky, man. But guess what? God is sneaky. God's always sneaky. He's sending people into our lives all the time, and he speaks to us in so many ways. Think about how God, in fact, speaks to us. He doesn't always get right in our face, does he? In fact, he rarely does that. He speaks to us as Psalm 19, verse 1 says, the heavens declare the glory of God. He speaks to us in and through the creation itself, right? And so, yeah, we speak to people. And I was talking to Cy about this during the break. One of my favorite all-time popes, Pope St. Paul VI. wrote a masterpiece called Evangelii Nuntiandi on evangelization that I think is just the... In fact, Evangelii Gaudium was a follow-up on the anniversary of Evangelii Nuntiandi, Pope Francis's, which I also think is a masterpiece on evangelization. But Pope St. Paul VI in sections 21 and 22, he goes to great lengths to say, and quite beautifully in section 21, that the first act of evangelization is to live the gospel, right? The first, that is not a, well, that's kind of cheating or that's not really evangel. Yes, it is. Living the faith is the first act of evangelization. And the Pope is powerful in his presentation on that point. But for lack of time, let's go to section 22, because in the next breath, the next paragraph or section, Pope St. Paul VI then says, however, no matter how well you live your life, no matter how good that initial proclamation of the gospel is, it will always be insufficient. And that's a direct quote. I don't have it in front of me, but I've actually read it multiple times, and I use this a lot. He said, it will always be insufficient. Why? Because the life lived will lead to the question, why? And then the evangelizer must be prepared. And he quotes 1 Peter 3:15, the apologist's favorite verse, right? Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts always and be ready to give everyone a reason for the hope that lies within you and do it with meekness and with respect, right? That says it all. So what you're doing is living your faith, and then you're ratcheting it up a notch there, turning up the volume there so that they can hear the gospel proclaimed by a great priest like Father Mike, who is an incredible presenter of the faith. So that is fantastic. You know, a lot of folks, you know, think that we, whenever we have our radio drive, Cy, you know, it's, oh gosh, these guys are just saying this so people will bring in money. And it's not true. When we say that by giving funds to Catholic Answers, you really participate in the fruits of the labors of all five apologists here and the almost 50 people that are laboring all around this building and across the country to proclaim the gospel throughout the world. That's not cheating, right?
Right.
That is really participating by using the gifts and strengths of other members of the body of Christ. I mean, that is exactly what St. Paul is talking about in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 21, when he says, can the eye say to the hand, I have no need of thee? Can the head, that's most likely referring to the Holy Father there, can the head say to the foot, I have no need of thee? It's a rhetorical question. The answer is no. We need each other because we're all, you know, not everyone is an apologist. Not everyone, in fact, in that same context, if you move down a little bit there, what is that about verse 27? Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all evangelists, teachers, workers of miracles? And the answer is no. We need all of the members of the body of Christ. So, Zach, be encouraged. You're just being a true example of one who is harmless as a dove, but at the same time as wise as a serpent. You're using the gifts of the body of Christ that God has given in order to propagate the faith. Keep it up, my brother.
Thank you, Zach. It's full line, so I'm going to keep moving.
Let's
but
do
we,
it.
We always like when you call, Zach, so please continue to call. I always enjoy the conversation. But Wayne is in Middletown, Ohio, listening on the Catholic Answers Live app. Wayne, thanks for downloading our app onto your phone. Go ahead with your question.
Thanks for having me, Cy.
Sure.
So my question, is it, well, I don't know how to ask it. Okay, so I always have a hard time accepting help. Sometimes I'll admit
right.
It might be because of pride.
Right.
But is it prideful just because I have a hard time accepting help?
Right. Great question, Wayne. And not necessarily, although it is certainly possible. So I certainly can't make that judgment in your case because not all that. There are people who truly don't accept help because they don't want to bother people, right? You'll hear folks will say, you know what, I don't want to take up your time or you know, and that sort of thing. And you don't want to say that's pride, absolutely. It may not be. I think it's misguided, but there's a certain virtue there, in fact. But it can be pride. Let me give you an example, Wayne. I won't say that your particular case, it's pride, but I will give you my case where I know it was pride in me. Years ago, I went to, after I had a couple of mini strokes, and this was before my major stroke, I went to Lourdes as a, what's called a malade, and it was wonderful. You know, I had a sponsor. They sponsored me to go. It was incredible. My wife and I went, and when I first got there, my brother, it was actually a fellow who's a friend of mine, Dr. Billy Costigan. He's a neurosurgeon who is one of the world's greats. People come literally from around the world to be operated on by this guy, Billy Costigan. He's a wonderful Catholic guy and a dear friend of mine. And he happened to be assigned to me, which was kind of, I mean, it wasn't pre-planned or anything. It just ended up happening that way. And when you first get there, Wayne, they put you on day one, they tell you, and I remember Billy said, you need to sit in a wheelchair. And I'm like, wait a minute. I mean, because there were people there who couldn't walk and such, but look, I've got aneurysms in my brain and I've had some mini strokes here, but I can walk, man. Uh-huh. And so I didn't want to get in that chair. I was like, I don't want to be wheeled around here, you know, and Billy just said, Tim, sit down. Just sit down. And I sat down. And then he explained to me that, look, brother, you need to accept help, right? Don't let your pride get in the way, brother. You just let us do what we do here. We bring people from all over the world, and you let God minister to you and our Blessed Mother minister to you. And I'll tell you what. After the second day, I was uncomfortable. I didn't like it. I didn't like being wheeled around in a wheelchair. I was like, dude, I can walk fine. But then I understood. I understood. And I also saw, Wayne, that it was totally pride. I was like, the Holy Spirit, I believe, opened my eyes and opened my heart. And I saw, I need to humble myself and recognize, look, not just the malady, I have six aneurysms in my brain and one on ascending aorta, and those suckers can kill you, you know? So right. I need to acknowledge, you know what? I need help physically, but more importantly, and what Billy really pounded into my head over that week we were there is, brother, Our Lady wants you healed spiritually more than bodily. Very few people are healed bodily at Lourdes, but everyone, God wills everyone to be healed spiritually. And so I just encourage you, Wayne, to think about that. That number one, you and I need help. That's the nature of being a human being. We all need each other. We all need grace that comes outside from outside of us. And often that grace is mediated through human beings, the touch of a human being. You sense the grace of God working through, not just the sacraments, which of course is the ultimate example of that, the priest being an instrumental cause of a sacrament, but that not the sacramental grace, but the real graces, particular graces, if you will, that flow through human touch and communication with each other, the healing that flows, Wayne, number one. And the last thing I got to say, because this is Billy yelled at me for this. Billy's probably listening right now. He didn't really yell at me. But Billy yelled at me on this one, too. He said, and brother, you got to let other people be blessed, right? Don't be so prideful that you rob other people of their blessing because they want to give. And I was like, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness. So, Wayne, just a couple of things to chew on a bit. Does that help at all?
Yeah, there's so much more I actually want to say, but I know the lines are backed up and Cy's a busy man, so I don't want to take up more time.
Well, all right, that's fine.
He doesn't want us to help him.
You know, what if we said you could have 60 more seconds? Do you have anything?
Have,
or are you, it's okay if you want.
Well, Okay, I'll accept that. So sometimes for me, it's I don't want to bother other people.
Yep.
And also from experience, when I do seek out help for, you know, for things, a lot of the time I get empty ears.
Right.
And
right.
Like, so, you know, but sometimes it's I keep telling myself I don't want to feel like I'm burdening someone else.
Yeah, I gotcha.
But sometimes I know that there's also that small part of it where that's not entirely true either.
Yeah, yeah. You know, you reminded me of that old song by Garth Brooks. Remember The Dance, Si?
Mm-mm.
Looking no. back, he's looking back over his life, and he's looking at a failed relationship, and he says, you know what? I could have missed all the pain of that relationship that failed if I would have never got into it to start with. But he said, then I'd have had to miss the dance. Right, and even though he'd been through so much pain, he looks back and sees, you know what, it's worth it. And that, I think, Wayne, you need to get in the dance, brother. And yes, sometimes we get hurt when we love, when we reach out and interact with folks, but it's all a part of the dance, and that's the way we grow, heal, and experience God.
God bless you, Wayne. What a great conversation. Thank you so much for the call. Lots more calls for Tim on the line. It's Ask Me Anything. More coming up on Catholic Answers Live. When the resurrected Jesus appeared to disciples on the road to Emmaus, they didn't recognize him until the breaking of the bread. The same is true today. In the Holy Eucharist, we really meet Jesus. In The Eucharist is Really Jesus, author Joe Heschmeyer explains how knowing Jesus in the Eucharist is the key to understanding all of Christian faith. Order your copy of The Eucharist is Really Jesus today at shop.catholic.com or get it at a good Catholic bookstore.
Our Lord needs articulate defenders of the truth to spread the joy of the Catholic faith. Catholic Answers Monthly Giving Club, Society 315, helps you fulfill the call in 1 Peter 3:15 to always be prepared to make a defense for the hope that is in you. For as little as $10 a month, you'll help Catholics grow in faith, bring lapsed Catholics home, and lead non-Catholics to the truth. Go to casociety315.com and join today.
We hope that one of the things that we communicate here at Catholic Answers Live is that our Catholic faith allows us to be fully serious about all the problems we encounter in the church and in the world, but it also lets us have light hearts and maybe even mix in a bit of fun, and that is exactly what our good friend Joe Heschmeyer does in his popular podcast, Shameless Popery. You should check it out at shamelessjoe.com. Joe's got a deep grasp of the faith, of morals, the teachings of the church, all that, but he's also got a witty conversational style. He entertains and he informs, but you will leave equipped to better answer the most common challenges, misconceptions, and questions about the Catholic faith. He's got insightful guests, he does on-air debates, and he takes a close look into all the things that you want to know about as a Catholic living today. You'll walk away knowledgeable and filled with joy. Look for Joe on his YouTube channel. Check him out at shamelessjoe.com or wherever you get your podcasts. And if you like what you hear, become a patron. Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Tim Staples, our guest. It's Ask Me Anything, and lots more folks ready to go. So back to the phones we go. Naomi, living in or calling from Logan, Utah, watching on Twitch TV. That's exciting. I didn't even know we were on Twitch TV, but I'm glad you're here, Naomi. Go ahead with your question for Tim.
Hi, Si and Tim.
Hi.
Hi there.
I grew up being abused by both my parents,
especially
my dad. I'm 23. I've been on my own for years now, but I'm still uncomfortable, you know, going to their house or sharing what I'm up to with him in particular. But we had an argument about it, and this came up. Jesus said, forgive your brother 70 times seven. And so it's really on, you know, me to let it go. So what specifically is forgiveness?
Right. Great, great question. I would recommend you take a look at Matthew 17, verses 3 and 4, where Jesus says, that's 17, verses 3 and 4, take heed to yourselves, if your brother sins, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times in the day and turns to you seven times and says, I repent, you must forgive him. I think this is something that's not understood about forgiveness, that forgiveness is by nature a two-way street. And I know it is very popular in this, in our Christian culture today, and I'm not sure of the origins where this comes from, of saying we are required to forgive everyone, including people who are not sorry. And that's just not true. I think it's Colossians 4:24 where St. Paul says we must forgive as Jesus forgives us. Does Jesus forgive souls in hell right now, Sai?
No.
No. Why? Because they didn't ask for forgiveness before they died. And so Jesus doesn't forgive everyone. No, he offers forgiveness to everyone. But in order for forgiveness to take place, the person has to repent. Now, that doesn't mean they have to say the words, I repent. Mm-hmm. No. And you know, the idea of offering, I understand, you know, saying, I forgive you, even though the person has not formally said he's sorry and that sort of thing, that's fine. I'm not telling people not to do that. If you want to do that, that's fine. But that's not real forgiveness. That's more of an offering of forgiveness like Jesus does. He offers it. In fact, he offered it to everyone when he was on the cross, right? But that doesn't mean, so in other words, you know, don't be too hung up on this idea that, gee, I have to let this in. Let's take it to the next step. If a person, now I'm going to divorce myself from your particular scenario and just say in general, if you have a person who is not sorry for what they do, I tell you, I have heard and read of cases where people feel guilty because they won't invite this person to their house.
Yeah.
Even though this person is dangerous, is not sorry. And even, you know, in abusive situations such as yours. And I tell you, I tell them with everything in me, that is a lie from the pit of hell. No, you do not. And I'll refer here to the great encyclical of Pope Benedict XVI on love, where he says, we don't have to like everyone, right? You don't have to have a relationship with everyone, Sai.
Right.
You don't have, in other words, you don't have to invite Osama bin Laden to the house, right? As much as, hey, you're Christian and you love everybody, you don't really want to have somebody over that's going to kill you, right?
Right.
And kill your children. Hmm. Now, that's, of course, an extreme example, but just be careful. We extend love and we extend forgiveness to everyone. But if there is a case where someone is in your life, and I'm not sure from what you're saying if this is the case here, where there is a danger, there is no requirement for you. Now, that danger could be physical. It could be spiritual as well. It could be emotional, where, you know what, I'm just not ready mm-hmm. to have this guy over to the house and that sort of thing. That is okay. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir. Thank you.
All right. God bless you. You know, Sai, and thank you so much for your call. But
thanks, Naomi.
You want to be so careful when you respond to this question because there's such a spectrum here
right.
of relational situations where you do have folks who have been abused and know it is not good for them to be in the same room with their abuser, let's say, or someone who is even tied to the abuser, on the side of the abuser.
Right.
You know, and these sorts of situations. And sometimes, Sai, this idea of, well, we got to forgive everybody and forget. You ever heard that one, right?
Yeah, forgive and forget.
Forgive and forget. God doesn't forgive and forget, Sai. It's not like Jesus is up in heaven going,
what?
How did I get these holes in my hands? How did I get these holes in my feet? No, forget. When the scripture talks about God casting our sins into the sea of forgetfulness, that it's a poetic way of saying God will not hold those sins against you any longer when he's forgiven. It doesn't mean he gets amnesia, and it doesn't mean we have to somehow supernaturally get amnesia right. and forget about wrongs. No, a lot of times, even though the sin is forgiven, in fact, most times we know spiritually we have to deal with the attachment to sin, right? Even we commit a mortal sin, you're forgiven of the eternal punishment, but we can still have attachment and punishment due for that sin that needs to be healed. The same thing happens in relationships. Even when there has been forgiveness, sometimes there are still ramifications that need real healing. And in situations of abuse, man, those can be very, very precarious times where you need friends, you need mentors to help you through those situations. Anyway.
Naomi, thank you very much. It sounded like that was helpful, and I hope that it was helpful to you. Let's go to New Haven, Connecticut, where Ryan is listening on YouTube. Ryan, go ahead with your question for Tim.
Hi. So just a little bit of background to my question. Me and my friends were at a divinity school, and it's a mostly Protestant space, but there are Catholics here. And we've been debating this idea of beyond just wars and beyond other items like that, but we've been debating, is it moral to love killing evil and to love the feeling of killing terrorists?
Mm.
So I draw from Proverbs 24:17, you know, do not rejoice when your enemy falls. Or
that's a good one.
When God says in Ezekiel 33:11, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked.
Yes.
Even in the catechism, you know, when anger reaches a certain point of deliberate desire to kill or seriously wound a neighbor,
yes.
It's a grave sin, a mortal sin. But yet, oddly, I'm agreeing more with my Protestant friends on this issue that it is immoral to love killing evil, but yet my Catholic friends believe it's not substantial enough. In my, you know, with everything I've just said to say, you know, it's not a moral issue if you love killing evil or love, you know, even the feeling of like killing a terrorist.
Right, right. Okay. Well, this is a very, very good and I think important question. And I find it kind of really odd that the Protestants are right on this issue because really... you do have a lot of this bad theology amongst Protestants. Thanks be to God, the ones you're talking to have got this right. But we have to make this distinction. You are entirely correct that we must hate evil. There is no doubt about that. But we must love the sinner. We hate the sin and we love the sinner. But what happens in a lot of circles, and obviously you've got some Catholics who have, I think, fallen into this as well, they'll latch on to other biblical texts like Psalm 139. This is one of the famous ones that are used here. This is Psalm 139, verse 19. I'm sure you've probably dealt with this one as well, but for those listening... Oh, that thou wouldst slay the wicked, O God, and that men of blood would depart from me, men who maliciously defy thee, who lift themselves up against thee for evil. Do I not hate them that hate thee, O Lord? Do I not loathe them that rise up against thee? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them my enemies. Right? Well, you know, many scholars believe that in Matthew chapter 5, verse 43 and 44, this is the very text and texts like them that Jesus is referring back to when Jesus says, you have heard it said, love your neighbor and hate your enemies. But I say to you, this is hugely important. All right? Jesus is taking us to another level in the gospel, the Sermon on the Mount, and in fact, this is core to the gospel of Jesus Christ and what distinguishes it from the Old Testament. Now, in defense of your Catholic friends, I would agree we have to be careful when we say, you know, Cy, you and I were talking about when the those evil, unbelievable purveyors of evil on October 7th, you know, launched the attack into Israel and just slaughtered innocent people, raping, killing, and such. Oh my gosh, it was absolutely awful. And it's in cases like that where our faith is really challenged, because we are called to love those people. Not what they are doing. What they're doing is evil and needs to be dealt with. But we're called to love them. That's the hard part of the gospel, isn't it? Love your enemies. See, in the Old Testament, you had texts like this that you know, seem to be, and on one level are, justifying hatred, where Jesus eliminates it. He says, you have heard it said, right? Love your neighbor, hate your enemy. But I say, love your enemies. And he goes further in verse 44. He says, and this is a requirement. This is Jesus, the new Moses, giving us a new law that transcends the old. And I'm going to show you how it doesn't contradict the old. It's not that the Old Testament is wrong here, but Jesus lifts us up in him to a new level of love when he says we have to love our enemies if we are going to be sons of our Heavenly Father. He's saying, this is not an option. This isn't a nice option. Yeah, you can either love or hate. No, this is a requirement of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But remember, on a natural level, and this is perhaps the most important point, Cy, is on a natural level, we understand that hatred is not necessarily a bad thing. It is not. Hatred of sin, hatred of anything that would direct us away from God and from our moral duties, it is right to hate. And on a natural level, mind you, that would include people who are in. And notice how King David, who I actually believe wrote Psalm 139, I know some scholars will debate that. I believe this is one of them that he did write. But the point is, he's emphasizing those who maliciously defy thee, lift themselves up against thee for evil. And that's what he is hating, if you will. And so on a natural level, there would be nothing wrong with that. Why? Well, because the true purpose of hatred here and on a natural level is to object to oppose. And that's what hatred is, oppose anything that's contrary or anyone that's contrary to God, right? So now in the New Testament, however, Jesus ups the ante. And by the way, in the Old Testament, you have Proverbs which says, you know, do good to your enemies. But of course, then it says you, in doing so, you pour hot coals on their head. You make them feel bad and such. But you have it hinted at in the Old Testament. That is the intrinsic dignity of the human person. And it goes back to Genesis 1, 27 and 28, male and female, he created in his image. I mean, it's all there, the dignity of the human person, but it's fully revealed in the new. And so with the advent of Jesus Christ and the introduction of sanctifying grace and the elevation of our lives in him, Jesus has put an end to any notion, and I want to shout this from the rooftop, those who would say that it's okay for Christians. I sympathize with Jews. Remember, Cy, you and I were talking about it one time, and I said, they don't have Jesus.
Yeah.
And I was just fearing of what was going to come.
Because, I remember that, yeah.
Yeah, they don't have Jesus, and you're going to, not that we can't respond either, you know, in justice, militarily, and so forth, but when you don't have Jesus, baby, look out. But the point is, my brother, for a Christian to say they can rejoice in the death of someone, and as you mentioned, even in Ezekiel, God does not rejoice in the death of any of his children. That is contrary to the Sermon on the Mount, contrary to what's revealed to us in sacred scripture. I can remember, I won't mention the name, a particular political figure who actually rejoiced at the death of a leader of another country who was beaten to death and said, we came, we saw, and he did. And they're literally jumping up and down. That is just so, it gave me the heebie-jeebies when I saw that. Because no, it should pain our hearts that we have to get to a place where something like that happens. We have to be peacemakers. We have to be those who are known for our love of even our enemies. Now, that doesn't mean at times you don't have to kill the aggressor. Sometimes you do, and that is morally justified. But rejoicing in it, my friends, no, that's contrary to what Jesus is teaching. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. Thank you.
All right, brother. All right,
thank you very much. Do I have to take a break, Darren? I don't know where I am. Yeah, all right. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back with more Ask Me Anything with Tim Staples on Catholic Answers Live.
Hang on. Catholic Answers Live will return in a moment.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects homebuyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
One of the biggest mistakes a Christian can make is to try to do good without God's help. Saint Therese said, when we trust only ourselves and not God, our soul becomes incapable of virtue. Her remedy? Works of charity. And the greatest work of charity is to share the gospel. At St. Paul Street Evangelization, a Catholic nonprofit, we encourage you to share the gospel with someone who doesn't know Jesus. Catholic Answers is supported in part by St. Paul Street Evangelization. StreetEvangelization.com.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
Isn't it awesome that we today do not recognize his presence in the Eucharist? Is it because we really don't go to him in humbleness of heart and say, Lord, I don't believe, help my unbelief. Lord, I want to see you. I want to recognize you. I cannot live without you. Are we saying that?
EWTN, live truth, live Catholic.
Back to Catholic Answers Live. Awful glad you're here. Thanks for taking the time with us. Tim Staples, our guest this hour. There's just so many people online. I'm just going to go quick and try to get them all on. Elizabeth's in Indianapolis, Indiana, listening or watching on YouTube. Elizabeth, welcome. Go ahead with your question.
Well, it's kind of a long story short. My parents are gone, and I wanted to inherit something, one of which... my mother had her religious icons in the house. She had the Sacred Heart and the Immaculate Heart pictures over her bed. And they kind of walked out of the house after she died. The only things I inherited were my dad's glaucoma and my mom's art talent. So I recently discovered and realized that I could probably paint a Sacred Heart picture and an Immaculate Heart picture myself. I don't know that I could do a bang-up job, but I think I could do a pretty good one.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering, is it okay for me to do that? Because I can't really afford to go out and buy them.
Yeah, Elizabeth, absolutely. It's okay. And I'll just say a couple of things real quick. Of course, in the church, we extol the importance of beauty. And that if you look in our churches, the artwork is always done well, and it should be done well, right, in places of worship and so forth. But at the same time, while we never back down from that, that is absolutely crucial because we do the best for God. I'll tell you, Elizabeth, we have a little angel that was made by my wife's Grandma Rose, who my daughter Rose is named after, one of the most wonderful women I've ever met in my life, incredible woman who came to the United States. Her husband left her and then died, and she didn't even speak English, and she had five kids on her own in America. And this woman, I don't have time, but she put herself through nursing school, raised five kids that are all devout Catholics to this day, has a zillion grandkids. She's one of the greatest women I've ever met in my life. I was so blessed to even meet her. I'm tearing up right now when I think of her because she was an incredible woman. Well, she made an angel for us to put on top of our tree. And is it the most beautiful work of art you've ever seen? No. Right? But I will tell you what, we put that thing up on the tree and it is beautiful because we know her and we know her heart and it moves me more. Now, we also have a star that's, you know, store-bought that's beautiful that we put up every other year. We put the angel up and then we put the star up. I'll take the angel any day of the week because there was such love that went into that. And she, too, didn't have a lot of money, but she made that for us, and she made a lot other stuff for the family. So, Elizabeth, in that sense, the ones that are like that, not necessarily the greatest works of art, sometimes are actually more beautiful than the great works of art for that reason. Does that make sense?
I don't think I could pull off a Michelangelo, but I think I could do some pretty, really, really good.
Well, rock and roll
of each, and I'm wondering, would it be wrong to ask a priest to bless them if they turn out well?
Oh, absolutely. You can ask a priest to bless them if they don't turn out well.
They might need it more if they don't turn out well.
That's right. Amen.
I'll hide them and keep them in my room and won't show them anybody if they don't turn out well.
Amen.
But I'm hoping the Blessed Mother she'll guide my hand while I'm painting.
Amen.
Oh, it's beautiful. It's beautiful. I'm sorry the other ones walked out the door on you.
And the sad thing is that my mother was devoutly Catholic, and everyone else in my family pretty much fell away, and I don't know why anybody in that family would have taken those, other than probably to sell them somewhere.
No. Right.
Well, get painting. And will you share them with us when they're done? If they're good, will you like send us some pictures and we can see the work?
Yeah, I can email them to you.
That would be great. That would be great. And then we'll talk again.
Let's do that.
Elizabeth, right. Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks
very
so much.
On we go. Let's see if we can get Michael in Buffalo, New York, who's also watching on YouTube. Michael, go ahead with your question.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. I had a question about infant baptism.
Okay.
So I'm a catechist here in Buffalo, and some of my Protestant friends that are converting asked a question that I'd like to hear your response, Tim. And
yeah.
It was that, how do we know and a baptism is valid if a baby would grow up to be an adult and they didn't even know they were baptized?
Right, right. Yes. Well, if it was validly administered, that is proper form, matter, and intention, it's a valid sacrament in and of itself. There's a fancy Latin phrase, ex opera operato, which means out of the working or by the working, it has worked. Right? So just out of the working of the sacrament, valley administered, it has worked regardless of the person receiving the sacrament. All right. Now, there are cases, of course, where the baptism would be invalid, but that there has to be a problem with form, matter, or intention. Okay. So why is that so important? It's so important because, brother, if the validity of baptism is in any way linked to the worthiness of the candidate or the worthiness of the minister, you would never know whether the sacrament is valid or not. Jesus is too smart for that. He gave us a sacrament where it is actually difficult to mess this one up, right? You got to really mess it up big time. Wrong words. You got to use Coca-Cola instead of water. You got to, not have the intention of doing what the church does. What Jesus in the church does, even an atheist can baptize. Because now remember, there's a reason for that, because this is the sacrament that brings us into Jesus Christ and opens the door to all the other sacraments as well. It's foundational. And if that's not valid, then think about it. Then holy orders isn't valid, right? Marriage isn't sacramental, right? All the dominoes start falling down. So it's very important that we understand that it as 1 Peter 3:21 says, baptism does now save us. It is not based on our own works, our own merit. We are the ultimate example of it's not of works, lest any man should boast when it comes to sacraments. Anyway, I wish we had more time, brother, but we are out of time.
Thanks, Michael. Thanks to everybody who called. Sorry to all those who we didn't get on, but we're going to do it again tomorrow. So if you just stay on the line for 24 hours. No, don't do that. Call back tomorrow if you want. We'll do our very best to get you on. Tim Staples, thank you very much.
God bless you, brother.
God bless you as well. As I said, that'll do it for us. And we'll come back and do it again tomorrow, God willing, right here on Catholic Answers Live.